you haven't figured it out, we're running a little over, but that's okay. I think my speech was responsible for some of that, so I'll take the credit. Thank you for being here for the opening press conference. This is a great place to have an annual convention. San Antonio is a great city. I like it even better because I live less than 2 hours from here, which makes it kind of like home. But I hope everyone here that comes from more northern climes and had to suffer the polar vortex appreciates the weather that we have ordered for this annual convention. You know, you guys heard my speech, my opening comments. I'll just reiterate sort of the three to-dos that we have on the list. They're not the only to-dos, but they're three major ones, and that's the Farm Bill. That saga continues to unfold, and we're hoping for some action. And hope springs eternal sometimes, but we're hoping for that to happen before the end of January. I am convinced the conference committee is making progress, but you know, the last we hear, and you hear the same things I do, the dairy issue was still kind of front and center in terms of how they're going to resolve that. The water resources bill to fund our waterways infrastructure, that is probably the most optimistic, or that is the job we have yet to do. I'm most optimistic about us getting done. We still have a ways to go to get the bill passed, but the progress has been substantial, and we're getting close to the finish line. You heard me hit the immigration and ag labor reform issue pretty hard because that is one. It is critical. We are hearing more and more stories. Now, we haven't done economic analysis yet, but given the numbers I'm hearing from individual producers about the impacts of losing millions of dollars and not being able to manage their operations, and, you know, the majority of this is in the specialty crop, fruit, and vegetable sector. Dairies have a significant issue, but the problem is if we don't have the labor it takes to produce what we produce, it's going to be produced somewhere else. And so hopefully, and I'm somewhat encouraged that both Speaker Boehner and Mr. Cantor have made references to having this somewhat on the agenda in 2014 for the House. The Senate, we've passed a bill. The House has a long ways to go. We're working very closely with Chairman Goodlatte and others to try to get the ag labor reform piece put in. And so all we can do is keep pushing, but the situation is just getting worse. And so I think that in and of itself is going to provide some impetus. Tons of other issues, whether you want to talk about trade or the renewable fuel standard or OSHA coming in to farms now and with fewer than 10 employees if they have grain handling facilities, all of those things, we're constantly working on those. It seems like on most days our plate's pretty full. I don't expect that to change anytime soon. Floor is open for questions.
Among everything else in Washington, Bob, the Trade Promotion Authority is one that will be required for any new trade agreement. Have you heard in Washington, where will your board and delegates stand?
Well, we have had a long policy position in support of Trade Promotion Authority, or whatever you may decide to call it, but the idea that you negotiate a full trade agreement and then it's brought back to Congress for an up or down vote. In fact, last week, I guess it was, we put out a press statement about the introduction of legislation. We're very strongly supportive, and we're going to be there to try to get it done. You can't really, and I've been involved in international trade negotiations, you cannot get your best agreement unless you have that kind of authority where the other countries can be confident that whatever they negotiate, hopefully it's their bottom line, won't be somehow disrupted when you bring it back to the U.S. Congress. And so we absolutely need it, and we'll be working to get it.
Regarding GMO foods, on the labeling issue, I wonder if the Bureau might be finding itself on the wrong side of the argument, and I wonder if it wouldn't make sense to go ahead and label food and then rely on education to let people decide whether they want it or not.
Well, food can already be labeled voluntarily. In fact, if you want GMO-free, you can buy organic. So it's not that the mechanisms are not out there to do it. What we oppose in our policy is mandatory labeling schemes that, frankly, provide that aren't related to nutritional value and the things that you normally expect to find on a food label. That issue is going to continue to be debated, discussed, fought out in the states. The industry itself is trying to assess in terms of federal legislation what maybe could happen that would help resolve some of these issues. But the reality is a lot of the groups that are pushing these labeling things really don't want a solution. The activity and the action continues to be a mechanism for them to maintain their organizations and maintain their funds. And so the fight's going to continue, but we're going to be there every step of the way.
On the locks and dams issue, don't we already have legislation, but Congress doesn't fund it?
Well, the funding is probably the last element. We have an agreement now to move forward, and it has certain the bill has certain elements in it that address some of the concerns in the way that funding is allocated. In terms of length of time it takes to get these projects funded, and so you don't have to study them to death, those kind of things. Ultimately, the real impact will be the amount of funding that's provided, and you know that's an appropriator's function, and we'll get to that. But the bill itself is a positive step forward, and there is some funding that will be better than it has been. Whether it's enough or not, probably not. It's never enough, but at least we can make a start at actually moving forward and getting some of these locks and dams particularly, and our harbors with the new size of the shipping vessels that are out there, get them in shape.
Back to GMO labeling. Do you anticipate federal legislation being proposed this year?
Legislation can always be proposed. I think there will probably be, and there have been efforts to do that in the past. That's nothing new. The question is there going to be an effort that would be successful in fundamentally changing the labeling rules with respect to biotechnology? I don't see it happening this year, to be honest. I think the discussion will continue. There'll be a part of that will be continuing to inform and discuss it with legislators. And the industry's going to be involved in those discussions. I think everybody would just prefer not to have to deal with the issue, except for maybe a few. And so how do you address that? And I think that's the fundamental question. Once again, our policy is opposed to, labeling schemes that don't have anything to do with nutritional value or safety or health for the general public.
Dairy and the Farm Bill, as we kind of understand, I think that's the thing that's being worked on, the hurdle that's being tried to, they're trying to get across to get a Farm Bill done. If I understand, Farm Bureau, I think has pretty straight, pretty solidly supported the producers' bill, the Senate bill, essentially, and as I understand, that probably isn't going to happen entirely. There's going to be a lot of negotiations. So I'm kind of wondering what you folks, Farm Bureau, what will you find acceptable in working out something on the dairy plank or the dairy piece of the Farm Bill?
At this stage, what we'll find acceptable is anything that will get the 5-year Farm Bill passed, probably. Our policy, we have been opposed to supply management in the past. There's no question that that's our policy position. So, that's part of the debate. The industry doesn't want, quote, supply management, especially in the bill in the Senate. Now, what's supply management? Well, the reality is you have to sign up for the program. It's voluntary, and if you do sign up for the program, then you would be subject to, some restrictions. Now, is that supply management, or is that a voluntary program that you sign up for? I mean, it's semantics, and that's what's going on right now, I think, in the dairy industry. I think that they'll come to some compromise. At least that's my strong hope. And, as I think Chairman Lucas has indicated, he's right between Speaker Boehner and his ranking member, Congressman Peterson. And that's not a good place to be, and he doesn't like being there. I am optimistic, so I think they'll find a path. There have been a couple of proposals as to how to sort of bridge the differences. From Farm Bureau's perspective, I think my first statement will probably hold true, is whatever can come out that will, find favor and get the Farm Bill passed is something we'll support.
How should EPA handle the issue of the renewable fuel standard?
Well, we don't think they should have proposed the reduction to start with, I guess, is the simple answer to that. We're going to be involved in the process and the coalitions with others to try to prevent that reduction. We'll see what happens. Those that are blaming corn, the price, blaming renewable fuels for the price of corn, I still haven't figured out what their argument is when the price of corn's been dropping. You know, so it's one of those things that, you know, it has a lot of emotion on both sides. But, you know, the fact is it's a very big industry now. It provides farmers a lot of opportunity. It increases demand for a product that we can produce, obviously, in enough quantity as we've done this past year. And so we don't see any need to have that reduction. But, you know, that's going to play out, I guess, over the course of 2014.
Mr. Stallman, one of the issues that perhaps the conference committee will be looking at when they finally do meet will be country of origin labeling. The revised rules that USDA is now in the process of actually having implemented. Farm Bureau really have a position on that that revised rule. Would you like to see it left in place? Like to see it modified? Do it done away with? Where do you stand?
We have two guiding policies when it comes to country of origin labeling. The first one is we support country of origin labeling, but we also support country of origin labeling that's consistent with international trade rules. Therein lies the rub, because that's what created the second round of rules, was because the WTO ruled against us. There will be another challenge to these rules. How long that takes to play out, you know, those challenges take 18 months, even up to 2 years sometimes. So our position is we want a solution that gives us compliance with international trade rules. Right now, we're not sure whether the current rule will do that or not, and we won't know until it's tested.
Bob, it's the third convention we've been that we've been looking for a replacement to the 08 Farm Bill, and it's been allowed to expire numerous times. Mr. Vilsack suggested the best thing that could come from this meeting and others was an urgency from the farmers to get it done. Do you want a farm bill to guarantee profit or to manage risk?
That's an easy answer. We have never been an organization that supported government policy that would guarantee profit. That's just a path we don't think that is good policy. So we want tools that will help us manage our risks. The new farm bill is being proposed in many instances, expands that risk management structure. There's more of a move to risk management mechanisms in the terms of the various types of insurance policies available that moves, and then it also moves away from direct payments or transfer payments as we you know, have been used to in the past. We view all that as being positive. But to implement those changes and expand our menu of risk management tools, we have to get it passed. I hope with the information provided to our members here, by discussing it in the speech, the conferences we have, that there will be a stronger sense of urgency to get it done. I really think we're getting close, and so I think it's just a matter of pushing it over the finish line.
Bob, I recall even when the last Farm Bill was passed, there was some voice, even in Congress, about the end of direct payments. There was a lot of pressure against them. Now it seems like some of the same groups are going after crop insurance. Is that a concern to you?
Well, I said many times when the discussion was starting about eliminating direct payments as the most hated subsidy of the day, if you will, from some groups, that as soon as we did that, you know, the next ranking subsidy would be the one that became the most hated. And you can already see the rhetoric ramping up in some of the big city press and some of the critics of farm policy and the amount of money that we spent under the crop insurance program in 2012, given the massive weather disaster we had across this country, you know, everyone started looking at the number. But I think everybody ought to step back and look at the fact that that's exactly what insurance products are supposed to do. When you have a disaster, it's supposed to help compensate you for the loss, just like your house being burned down or being in a car wreck. You hope that you don't have the disaster. You hope that you have very good crops, and, you know, therefore those expenditures won't go out. So there's an education process that needs to occur, but we will never satisfy all the critics of those who believe that somehow agriculture deserves no support. We will never satisfy all those critics. But what we have to do is make the best case possible as to why these programs make sense. Farmers have skin in the game when they're talking about risk management policies. They pay part of the premium, and it's a tool that allows us to survive, basically, to go to the next year when we have had a weather disaster. One additional comment, 2012, were it not for the risk management programs, insurance programs, crop insurance programs that were in place for 2012, plus biotechnology, if we would have had that same weather event 20 years ago, we would have been talking about massive farm auctions and a massive restructuring of agriculture, because there would have been a lot of producers that would have gone under. Not to mention the fact that the American people would have had a little price shock at the grocery store.
Mr. Stallman, there's been rampant speculation on this. I think it's been about 14 years. But how many more decades do you see yourself still serving as president of Farm Bureau?
Thank you for that question. I have always said, and nothing has changed, that I will depart this organization as president when I quit having fun or they kick me out, whichever happens first. So far they haven't kicked me out, and so far I'm still having fun.
You talked about the list of acquisitions that Farm Bureau has had with the farm shows and the publications. Can we expect an aggressive agenda with further acquisitions in the future?
Well, you know, this comes under the category of walk before you run. You know, this is a new venture for us in a way, although we've done small events, i.e. this annual meeting is, well, maybe not so small an event. You know, we've had our little publications in-house, so, you know, we've kind of nibbled around these businesses before. But to get up to the scale now that we are with those acquisitions, we are still in learning mode. Our first goal is going to be to make the events as robust and improve those as much as we can. You know, take what we've got and do an even better job with it, and that includes the publications too. That's the first goal. We will be, over time, I expect, exploring opportunities, either where there may be a gap or a need for another event like this, or where there may be existing events that perhaps the owners want to sell. But that's going to be far in the future. Our first goal is to run this business as best we can and improve on it and make it an even better opportunity for farmers and ranchers. And maybe let's take one more. I'm running a little behind here.
I'll make it a long one then.
Thank you, Chris.
Getting back to biotechnology and the issues there, and in your role as chairman of the U.S. Farm and Ranch Alliance as well, what are you seeing and what do you feel needs to be done in terms of the public opinion on biotechnology when we, it's not just labeling, but now you had USDA on that apple that they deregulated, and because of the public outroar, they had to open a public comment period on it. More and more, this is becoming a much more public issue. And so how do you basically do a better job, or how does the industry do a better job of educating the public?
No, that's a very good question about how do we satisfy the public's desire for knowledge or concerns about biotechnology. And let me switch to my role as chair of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. We've done extensive polling, focus groups, and we have a platform on the ground where we're really testing. What we're finding is that if consumers who have concerns can discuss directly with a farmer who uses biotechnology about why you use it, what the benefits are, all of those things, when you can have that kind of interaction, we find that there's greater acceptance. The questions are answered, in essence, by someone they trust, which is a farmer. You know, they don't trust people who lead organizations like me. They don't, you know, trust, you know, the, quote, experts generally. What they want to do is relate to someone that they have confidence in. And so that's why USFRA has worked very hard to establish a platform, primarily digital social media, where that can occur. That just has to keep on. I would suggest, and based on what I've seen, that we are actually making progress in terms of pointing out the benefits of biotechnology for now and for the future, and the fact that the technology itself has been shown thus far to be perfectly safe. And it's like a lot of other things in life. You know, we have changed technology across our society in so many different industries. And as a general rule, consumers accept that when they see the benefits, if the concerns they have about any dangers or problems are addressed up front, and that's what we have to do in the case of biotechnology. I'm convinced we're making progress. Are we going to be able to call it a win anytime soon? Totally no. We'll have to continue to convey to consumers what we do as farmers and ranchers, and do that in a very open and transparent manner. thank you all for being here. Hope you enjoy being here in San Antonio and the rest of our meeting. We actually have a lot, have a lot of excited Farm Bureau leaders and members here. I'm sure you'll be talking to many of them, and I'll look forward to seeing y'all later on in this toward the end and at our delegate session, I'm sure. And hopefully you'll get all the stories and all the questions answered that you need. Thank you.